Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Coming up on podcast 1318, they say significant autopilot improvements coming for non-US Tesla owners. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, Huawei gets into the EV action. General Motors wants to sell you EV components for whatever you want to electrify, and a new way to surf the internet in the Polestars. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. Happy Christmas Eve, my friend. Friday, 24th of December today. Hopefully you are easing down for some holiday time. Whether you are celebrating Christmas or just enjoying the holiday period, wherever you're listening around the world, I wish you all the best, and the best from my family to you and yours as well. And I'll still be here over the holiday period, by the way. Some special shows coming, which I hope you enjoy. My name is Martin Lee, by the way. If you didn't know, I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. All about saving you time. We'll start with the tech giant Huawei joining China's EV race and competing with the likes of Tesla. Less than a week after Chinese EV startup NIO announced their latest competitor to Tesla, now Huawei are having a go. Yesterday announcing details of a new vehicle with specs that it claims will beat a Model Y, but it won't, and I'll tell you why. The Chinese tech giant Huawei, known for its smartphones and comms products, says it will not make cars on its own, but rather work with automakers on car tech like autonomous driving and bring their own set of skills. The first car with Huawei's operating system, which is called Harmony OS, is going to be a car which they've called the Aito M5, A-I-T-O, Aito M5. The thing is, though, when Richard Yu, the executive director and CEO of Huawei's consumer business, announced it, one thing that you couldn't avoid, they called it an electric car, but it comes with an engine. So it's a plug-in hybrid. The launch event pointed out that it has specs to beat a Model Y, but I'm sorry, if you're burning something, it can never beat a full electric car. Doesn't mean it might not be compelling to a certain buyer. It can't beat a pure electric car if you're also clogging up the atmosphere. Well, deliveries begin on February the 20th after the Lunar New Year. The Harmony OS is an Android-based operating system developed by Huawei as an alternative to Google. The OS has evolved to include as many categories and products as competing smartphones. The post-subsidy price is, I give them this, it's competitive, about $39,000 equivalent, considerably less than a Model Y, by about $20,000 equivalent. During the launch event, Mr. Yu claiming that the Aito M5 offers better peak power and range than a Model Y. Well, you can claim what you want. You're burning stuff to make it go. As I reported back at the beginning of December, the Aito M5 is indeed a plug-in hybrid jointly created by Ceres and Huawei. So Huawei will do the car's brain and smart bits, if you like. And that was what was rumoured earlier in December. This is what was coming. I think we even saw a picture of it earlier this month, but now we have all the details. Now, this is where the information starts to get a little bit murky, because I'm trying to dig through this. We know that the car comes with an all-wheel drive system, a 1.5-litre internal combustion engine that's 92 kilowatts and a 60-kilowatt electric motor with peak power, 165 kilowatts on the front axle, 150 on the rear, they say. So then they say the car weighs 1.3 tonnes. Okay, not too heavy. Then they say it comes with a 200 kilowatt hour battery, which it absolutely doesn't if the car is only going to weigh 1.3 tons. They say the maximum driving range is 1,000 kilometers from the 200 kilowatt hour battery. So no disrespect to carnewschina.com, where we sourced this story from back on the 2nd of December when I first talked about it, but nah, like I said at the time, it hasn't got a 200 kilowatt hour battery. Because if it did, it also wouldn't be a plug-in hybrid. Either way, kind of good-looking SUV, a bit like the new Hyundai Kona or the new MG ZS EV, if you like. So, pretty much what you'd expect an SUV to look like. All right, moving on, and we'll talk about Tesla releasing a significant update to their autopilot system for non-US owners. This improvement will come outside the United States March 2022. The timing for the release of the autopilot improvement seems fitting, given Europe's decision to increase road safety in the next few years through a series of regulations requiring the installment of certain safety systems. According to Teslarati.com, autopilot users in the European Union have been complaining about incorrect speed limits and not getting to the correct speed before you cross the sign. I've seen friends of mine recently complaining about how the speed signs and the speed display in their Teslas here has suddenly changed from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. That surely is just a bug. They might be getting a hot fix out for that or something, but that doesn't seem intentional because we don't use kilometres an hour here. We use miles per hour. Well, Elon Musk responding to a tweet saying that the autopilot team are aiming for significant improvements for owners over here, around Europe, outside the US, basically sometime around March, even if you give that some Elon time and you say it's going to be around summer. Super interesting this, because next year, things like driver drowsiness and attention warning systems, intelligent speed assist, emergency braking, AEB, advanced emergency braking, and lane keep assisting, all becomes mandatory. In 2024, every car sold in the EU must then be fitted with those technologies I mentioned. The regulation also has the opportunity to offer Tesla a simpler route to getting regulatory approval in parts of Europe, particularly if you can try and encourage the European Union and those rulemakers, really, at EU level, to put some things in place that you can then adhere to. So much easier than trying to comply with regulations in every single European, or at least EU nation, which is incredibly complex if you do it at national level. So that would be very interesting to watch. And of course, I will watch that one very, very closely. Now, I think Elon Musk has said in the past that he is frustrated because the EU teams that get together to discuss this, it's either annually or biannually. And by that, I mean once every 2 years, not twice a year. And so that would be frustrating, considering the rate of progress with driver assistance and so-called self-driving systems, if they're not meeting very often to even talk about what rules do we want to put in place. So hopefully next year we do get to use at least some more of those full self-driving suites of things, which, again, my US listeners get to use, and we absolutely don't. Much more lockdown over here. Now let's talk about LFP batteries. Lithium iron phosphate batteries are going into the base versions of Tesla cars, and we now know that the Model 3 indeed does like to be charged to 100%. Tesla very famously give you all access to all of your battery, but ask you not to charge it fully every day for battery health. Now they're changing that recommendation because the chemistry of the battery requires it to be charged to 100%. So if you have a new Tesla, how do you know it's got an LFP battery cell in? Well, what you can do is you can go into your system on the touchscreen and select set limit in the charging section of your Tesla app. It works as well if you drag the slider. If you have an LFP battery, it'll show either a 50% setting or 100% setting of what you want to charge to. Other versions with the cobalt-based batteries have either a daily setting or a trip setting. That trip setting will fully charge your battery, daily obviously much less. In fact, the guidelines for these LFP cars include the recommendation that Model 3 owners keep the charge limit set to 100% and charge your cars to 100% Often, if not always, at least once a week, though. That's in the owner's manual of the new Teslas. If a car is parked up for more than a week, more than 7 days, Tesla recommends that, yeah, you can drive it as normal, but charge to 100% at your earliest convenience. That's really interesting. Completely different way of owning an EV. I mean, like, combustion cars would never dream when they sell you a car to say, oh, make sure you keep your fuel tank at 50%. It's just not something that anyone thinks about. It's a whole new way of thinking when you buy and drive an electric vehicle. And yes, I do think sometimes the early adopters of electric vehicles, I'll call them the nerds, because I am a nerd, were both tolerant of these kind of things and accepting and didn't put pressure on the car makers to get rid of all this kind of nonsense, really. I think, you know, the next wave of people buying EVs, I don't really want to be told. I'm allowed to charge this one to 100, but that one I can only go to 80 and plea. Like, what? So many people won't care, let alone adhere to any guidelines. Let's talk about General Motors next, announcing a new suite of EV components in their new sales strategy. GM laying out plans to begin offering EV components set for upfitting applications, which they say will help meet the growing demand for zero emissions technology in aviation, automotive, marine, and construction. Well, GM plans to roll out their EV components through their existing solutions arm. They're saying that GM-powered solutions will introduce tailored electric components in the near future, allowing customers to integrate the latest GM EV technology, like their Ultium cells, I'm guessing, that technology into custom applications. GM-powered solutions will begin offering motors, batteries, and components necessary for, you know, converting fleet vehicles or construction equipment or other machines to pure electric power, writes GMAuthority.com. You know, another announcement from GM. Often, simply because it's now annoying me, if I see an article that starts GM announces, I'm like, no, delete. I'm not reporting it on the podcast. This one's kind of curious. It's kind of interesting. I wanted to bring you the news. But what a surprise. GM announced something. It'd be good if GM could start shipping a few more things. I think there's going to be a couple of Hummer owners, by the way, sometime this year. February, Bolt and EUV goes back into production. So yeah, maybe a few Hummer owners will get their vehicles. But come on, GM, a little less with the mouth, a little more action, please. All right, coming soon, we will talk about Panasonic expanding their battery activities in North America and a Russian startup to charge your EV on the move.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Now we'll talk about Polestar 2 releasing a full-scale Vivaldi web browser. I don't know what Vivaldi web browser is on Android. I'm fully in the iOS system, by the way. Drivers and passengers now have access to the same powerful web browser features as the desktop and mobile versions of Vivaldi, running on Android Automotive. Of course, it's what Polestar runs on, the first web browser available for Google's new Android Automotive system, making its debut in Volvos and Polestars. The in-vehicle version of Vivaldi was developed by Polestar and the team in Norway. Full-scale web browser, extensive browser functionality. They say 11-inch center display really makes it look very beautiful. Some caveats, though, according to futurecar.com, files can't be downloaded, nowhere to store them, and you can't use it when the vehicle is moving. But if you are streaming video content in the web browser and the car sets off in motion, it will stop the video, but it will carry on playing the audio. Now, that's really interesting. I like that feature, actually, you know, especially if you are listening to a podcast and, you know, can't think which one, but if you were listening to a certain EV-based podcast in your Polestar, you could then, you know, drive away and carry on listening. Next, we'll talk about how the electric car supply chain, carbon emissions, are so much lower for electric vehicles. You know, we hear that from EV detractors, those that have a vested interest in keeping fossils on the road. People just hate EVs. The general numbnuts of society that you find at the bottom of social media. All of those categories of people sometimes say, well, you know, of course, EVs might be zero emission when you drive them, but to make them, all the carbon emissions. Well, the total indirect carbon emissions from EVs pales in comparison to the indirect emissions from fossil-fueled vehicles. A new extensive study announced today by Yale University has found indirect emissions include those produced by the supply chain of all the components that go up of making a vehicle and the fuels used to create the electricity that will charge an electric vehicle. The research team combined concepts from energy economics and industrial ecology, carbon pricing, life cycle assessment, modeling energy systems to find if carbon emissions were still reduced when the indirect emissions from the EV supply chain were factored in. One of those things that I remind people of all the time when they say about petrol and diesel, you know, an engine has less embedded carbon than making the battery pack for a car. And you say, how do you think fuel is refined? Like, how do you think petrol is refined if you're not using a shed load of electricity? Is it not better to use that electricity in a car than use the Leckie to refine fuel? They never have an answer to that, of course. The surprising element was how much lower the emissions of EVs were when you include all of the direct and indirect emissions of making and running the vehicles, said the researcher from Yale, Stephanie Weber. The supply chain for combustion vehicles is so dirty that EVs can't surpass them, even if you factor in indirect emissions, and that includes making the battery pack. So if we price the carbon embodied in these processes, the expectation is that EVs would be exorbitantly expensive. They say that's what the expectation is. It turns out it's the opposite. It's not the case. If you level the playing field by also pricing in the carbon in the fossil fuel vehicle supply chain and all of the carbon emitted to create all of the components for fossil fuel vehicles, EVs are so much better in terms of carbon emissions. I'll pop a link, obviously, to that story in the show notes so you can have it up your sleeve next time you come across one of those people that has no idea what they're talking about. Next, Panasonic expanding their EV battery operations in Nevada. And as the EV market revs up, the Japanese company is saying that they already produce, obviously we know, the 2170 cells, lithium-ion cells, 2170 or 21700, for Tesla at Giga One in Sparks, Nevada. Now they're adding a new campus in Reno. It's a 95,000 square foot building managed at the moment in Reno by Industrial Realty Group, undergoing a big renovation for Pena's headquarters. Pena is Panasonic Energy of North America, P-E-N-A, by the way, with state-of-the-art engineering labs, employee recruitment, training facilities, and support functions. The announcement comes 7 years after Panasonic would produce lithium-ion batteries for the first time at Gigafactory 1, or Giga Nevada, as I guess we have to call it these days. Well, operations of Giga Nevada will continue. Panasonic intends to take advantage of their new Reno location to expand their local capacity and talent acquisition, they say. According to Inside EVs, the future investment indicates that the tie-up with Tesla remains strong and might even be expanded. Yeah, maybe Panasonic will be chipping in with making those 4680 cells, those much larger cells. I best describe probably as either the biscuit tin cells or the baked bean tin cells. That's kind of how big they are and the general shape of them as well. Let's talk about a Russian startup that wants to bring mobile EV supercharging to London. That is my doorbell. I think my wife is in. I'll just check the cameras and make sure she is while I read you this story. A Russian startup, L-Charge, plans to bring its mobile superchargers for EVs to London next year, hoping to benefit from the growing demand and the limited existing charging infrastructure the company's founders told Reuters. Ah, yes, I can see she's opened the front door. Okay, I haven't got to run out of the studio to meet the postman. Let me continue. The firm's truck-mounted chargers run on liquefied natural gas. or hydrogen, or a mixture of the two. They're not connected to the power grid necessarily. L-Charge raised $1.5 million back in September, and they want to seek a partner to commercialise their product. Of course, you are burning stuff, I guess, to get that mobile EV charging. LNG-powered chargers emit three times less CO2 per 100 kilometres than running on diesel. But then again, also they are dirtier than charging on a typical European power grid, which is quite clean. When mass-produced, they say that these mobile charging trucks could be about 200,000 to purchase. They would charge around 25 EVs daily. I don't know, maybe you could get your money back in 3 or 4 years on one of these. I'm not so sure, but I guess in the interim, maybe for really remote or mobile locations, massive events, sporting events and things like that, we need to bring in possibly another 100 EV chargers on the back of trucks. Maybe that could work. I don't know. I'm up in the air on burning stuff to charge EVs. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. It returns. It's back in 2022, but in the meantime, email me any possible questions and I could pick yours. Hello at evnewsdaily.com. Thank you so much to all of our premium partners of the podcast. All of the Patreon supporters get their ad-free feed, by the way, and new stuff coming for 2022. I'll tell you more about that as we head towards January. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley, he runs the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. You've subscribed by now, haven't you? You have subscribed, haven't you? Also, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. And emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.